Hey, friendly reminder, this podcast is not for kids or people who have a stick up their ass.
Friday, 5:58 p.m.
I'm sleeping with my best friend's husband.
I think my uncle killed someone in his suicide.
I am a sugar baby.
I'm a soccer mom addicted to Adderall.
I think my sister is actually my uncle's kid.
My husband bought his hooker a car whenever I was helping
him. I was a
What's your secret? Welcome back to another week of Beyond the Secret. My name is Ace Fanning, and I want to start this week off by just thanking every single one of you who reached out and showed your appreciation for the Missing Son episode. Oh, you guys are awesome, and I felt every little bit of love that you sent my way, and I'm just very, very thankful for all of you. It means a lot to me to get to read those messages, so thank you. Before we get into this week's episode, I do just want to ask, if you have not yet, I would appreciate it so much if you would go and leave a 5-star review for the podcast. If you don't think it deserves 5 stars, that is totally fine. Please just don't leave your review. Just keep that review with yourself. But if you do think that it deserves 5 stars, then it would mean a lot to me. I know it's lame, it's gross of me to ask, but those reviews are how Beyond the Secret gets found by new audiences. And yeah, I really appreciate everyone who has already left a review and all of you who are going to leave a review. Thank you. Okay, moving on to this week's story. As you can tell from the title, this story is broken into 2 parts. Again, that is 2 secrets in a row. And for all of you who hate 2-parters, I am so sorry. But there is just so much story to be told in this, and trying 3 hours down to 1, it just wouldn't happen. So I actually did this interview pre-pandemic, and I referenced this story kind of a lot in some of the more upbeat episodes that I put out during the beginning stages of quarantine. I kept talking about this episode that was kind of really heavy and it had all these things about it. That's this one. And I just felt like this story covers so many topics, and I just didn't think anyone was in a place to hear it back then. So I'm hopeful that now you're in a place to hear it. Hopefully. Because the story, like I said, it covers a lot of topics, from abuse, religion, crazy families, and obviously death. This week's secret, The Widow, Part 1. I want to start with how you and your husband very first met.
Okay, a little quick backstory. I was raised in a very, church was my whole environment. Pretty strict, extremely strict. No kissing when you're dating, no being alone. I mean, some people broke the rules and it wasn't like a life or death situation, but it was pretty frowned upon. I moved from one state to another state, and we went back to our home church. That's where I first met him. We were starting over. I had sisters, and we just became friends with the young people in our church. So I met this guy who was pretty much the opposite of like who I would have gone for, kind of the more rebellious type, basically the person my parents would have probably frowned upon me even talking to. But he was a part of our group and I was kind of interested in him. So we began to communicate and like text and talk, and we started working out at the gym. Nothing crazy. Like, we just worked out. Sometimes we would play like racquetball. And at the time, I was actually talking to / almost dating my now sister's husband. And I ended up breaking off with him because I liked my husband better. So my family found out about it, and like nothing had happened. We literally would hang out at the gym and text. Like, that was it. There was no physical contact. We weren't even dating. We were just getting to know each other. And my mom basically tore into me and acted like I was pregnant with his child. That's how she reacted. And she like stormed me into church and was like, what are you going to do about this, to the pastor? Like, she's talking to this boy and we don't want her to, and this is inappropriate. And it was just blown completely out of proportion, like insane. And then like my parents made me quit my job. They took my car away. Like, they made such a big deal out of me talking to this guy. And I, to this day, think if it had been someone else, because they knew about the guy I had been talking to before, and they were like okay with it, and we were doing the same shit. So it just like did not add up. They just had like a personal thing against him.
Do you think that part of what intrigued you about this guy was the fact that your parents wouldn't like him?
Oh, absolutely. I think my mom says I literally make rules to break them. Like, I just am a very spontaneous, reactive person, like, for sure. So after that was kind of like a whirlwind. I moved out of my parents' house into with some friends from church. I started working at a basic job because I had to quit the really good job that I had because of my parents. And I started talking to him more. And still nothing physical. Like, even though I was rebellious, I didn't really do bad stuff. My parents were always like, oh, you're hanging out with people that don't belong to our church. But I was never like peer pressured. I had no problem saying no to things. So we just were continuing to talk, and nothing's happening. We're not dating. He's kind of an asshole, but like, I just felt like he was an asshole because he was afraid of like getting caught, because he knew my parents were against it. So I was always just like, well, he's being hesitant or a dick because of our situation. So I was just like, well, he's just afraid. So he's just pushing me away and bring me back because he's just got feelings, but he is afraid to act on them because of our church dynamic. So there was a big church event that happened, and him and I were both involved in it with other people. And after this event had ended, I was sitting in my church and I got like called into this office with the pastor, and he was like, so someone told me that you are having sex with, you know, so-and-so. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, definitely not. I mean, we've kissed, but like, no, we're not even like, what? And he was like, okay, well, we've like told your parents. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you didn't think to ask me first. So now I've got my parents freaking out. And I was like, well, did you talk to him? And they were like, yeah, we're going to talk to him. And he said the same thing. And this is where shit gets a little weird, but you have to understand that it wasn't as weird for me because it was pretty normal in my church for this to happen. My then not husband comes out of the office, and I walk up to him and I was like, okay, what the fuck happened? What did you say to them? And he was like, I think we're getting married.
What the fuck?
And when I talk about it, I got to be real with you. A lot of my past is very humiliating to me, because now that I'm a grown up and I think for myself, I realize how, I guess, under a spell I was, if that makes sense. You just don't realize like when things are that are weird become so normal, then they're just normal. They're not weird. So it was freaking me out a little bit. I remember calling my friend and my cousin, and they were like, what the fuck? Because they were not a part of our church. Like, we thought you like weren't even dating this person. But it was almost like you don't say no to leaders, and you didn't want people to think you had had sex. There was such a fear behind things there. So there was a part of me that was like, oh my God, yes. Now that it's out in the open, he can now respond accordingly and we can be a normal couple. And while we're getting married, but like now we can be a normal couple. It sounds so stupid, but this is real.
So did he get down on like one knee and say?
No. And so I never had that like experience. My parents threw some like shitty party. It was so awkward. It was so awkward. And he like got me a ring that was just not great. And I was excited because I was like, I really was. I think with him, it was more of an obsession or an infatuation, like you want what you can't have. And it was mostly that for me. So I would have said, oh my God, yeah, I'm so into this guy. There was no like, oh, I don't like it. No, I was really into him, but I didn't know shit about him, you know?
And all of this is because of the fact that you supposedly had sex. Like you weren't.
Yes.
Which one you didn't, yes. But two, just having sex seems like a real big stretch.
And they would totally say now, they would be like, oh, we would never like tell people to get married because they've had sex. We think it's a bad, but that's not how it is. People there get married when they're 17. Like it is not weird for a parent to sign off on their kids getting married because they're 16 or 17. It's just not. So basically you're going through puberty and your hormones are raging and you fuck up and now you're getting married. That's kind of how it works.
And how old were you at this point?
I was 20, I believe, when this happened.
Okay.
3 months later, after this happened, we got married. And immediately, I'm talking honeymoon night, I was like, what the actual fuck? My husband, he was probably the least affectionate person I've ever known. Zero emotion. It was kind of just like, I was there for him when he wanted me there for him. He would send me out to get food on our honeymoon. He would never leave the hotel. He spent all of our wedding money on himself. And I would have had to like ask for permission to like get something. Like, obviously you're awkward anyway. You don't know this person that you've just married, which is also a shitty situation to be in, but just how he was. And it wasn't like he was just blatantly mean, but he was just had this like this thing about him. And it was very like untouchable.
Did you guys end up having sex after everyone accused you of having sex, or was your honeymoon your first
time? We did not. I was still a virgin when I got married.
Oh, wow.
And it was honestly, I mean, people say the first time is terrible, but it was terrible because of how he was. I've never felt so alone in my life than when I was married. That's the honest truth. He was a nice guy to everybody. He was kind of goofy. People at his job, women liked him. But he was just not like that with me. So in my marriage, a lot of things happened that were just like slowly breaking me down. I tell people like I became an ugly person. I looked ugly. I felt ugly. I was like, it was just like not a great place to be in. And I got pregnant 3 months after we got married. I was shitty at taking a birth control. Like I was young. I was stupid. We got pregnant. At the time, my sister-in-law had moved in with us. I had begged my husband, like, don't let her move in. We just got married. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. We only have a 2-bedroom apartment. Like, we're going to have a baby. I want to have a room for her. And he totally, like, disregarded what I said and was like, no, she's moving in. And I'm going to say a lot of negative things, but I have to remind you that I truly loved my husband. Like, I wanted him to want me. This was, like, my whole marriage. I had this thing for him that I knew he would never have for me. So I got pregnant. His sister was living with us. And here's where I introduce his family. His dad is a former Muslim. And I did not really know this. Actually, I didn't know this at all. I was just too naive to understand what that meant.
Hey there. I just want to interject here really quick. You're going to understand more about their religion as the story goes. But I just wanted to clarify, when she says Muslim, she misidentifies. His dad allegedly belonged to an Islamic extremist group. And it's really important to me to make that distinction. So please do not be confused. We are not talking about Muslims. We are talking about something very different. Okay. I just had to hop on and say that. Back to the story.
His dad is from a very hardcore Muslim country, like born and raised until adult age. His dad had converted to Christianity, but I'm sorry, I don't think you really ever get out of that mindset of like what you were born and raised. I mean, even to this day, like I still have things that from what I was born and raised that you just fall into. So his family had such a controlling element in our marriage. It was like whatever they say he would do. And he talked to them like around the clock. He would come home and be on the phone with them. He would go to bed and be on the phone with them. I mean, it was just like nonstop. So his family really pressured my husband to let his sister move in with us. And my husband and his sister's relationship was very uncomfortable for me. He spent countless hours in her room with the door shut, with her, or with on the bed with her. They would like wrestle in my bed. I mean, it was a very like.
That is the fucking weirdest thing I've ever heard. And I hate
saying it. I felt like I was a third wheel in my own marriage because I've been around people who love their brothers. I have brothers and I'm like punched my brother. I don't hug. I mean, like, I can't explain it. It was just like,
it was kind of like incesty.
And I've heard of like emotional incest, and I would say it was more leaning on that. I'll say that I think they have a secret, and that's kind of like where I think that played into it. My husband had lived overseas. Like, there's a lot of things about his life that I think were hard for him. They lived in like crazy countries during crazy times. So I think maybe things had happened. I don't know. I'll get to that a little bit where I my eyes were open to a little bit more of his family dynamic.
Oh God.
His sister was weird. The room was like dirty tampons, dirty pads. She didn't wash laundry. She would literally she literally had a duffel bag of dirty underwear because she didn't want to wash. And she would just buy new underwear. So you could like smell her room with the door shut in this small apartment. She was gone one day and I was like 8 months pregnant. I was like, fuck this. I'm cleaning this room. Like, I went in there and I have never seen anything. There was like pads under her bed. I just can't. It was disgusting.
Did she have like uncontrollably heavy flow? Like, why were there so many tampons and pads?
I don't know. She didn't clean. She didn't throw things away. They could have been there for 2 months.
Oh, God.
So I like cleaned her room and I sent pictures to my husband and I was like, this is what your sister's room looks like. This is not going to happen. Like, and he didn't care what I said. He was just like, I'll talk to her. You know how people ask you, like, when did you have your moment of, like, your breaking point? You know what I'm saying? Like, where you really, like, felt something. Like, yeah. This isn't right. And I was still early on in my marriage. I was pregnant with my first child. And we had sold my car because he wanted to, like, pay off debt. So we were down to one car. But we both worked similar hours. And we both worked about, like, 1.5 to 2 miles from where we lived. So we just kind of made it work. Well, I was pregnant. And I mean, sick as fuck the entire time. I was tired. Like, I worked too many hours. I was just miserable. And this one day, it was like 100 degrees outside. I had been like sick the entire morning. And my boss hated me. He like made me scrub floors on my hands and knees while I was pregnant. Like, he fucking hated me. So I was sick that day. And he was like, you just need to go. We don't want you here. You're miserable. You're making people uncomfortable. Like, go home. And I was like, oh, thank God I get to go, you know? And I called my husband. I was like, you need to come pick me up. It's like 100 degrees out. My boss is literally like, if I don't leave now, he's like being an asshole. And my husband was like, oh, I'm not coming to get you. And I was like, I'm pregnant with your child. I've been puking all day. Like, I'm crying. Please come get me. My boss is, no, I'm not leaving. Like, you're not going to get in trouble. You tell your boss that your pregnant wife is sick. It'll take you 5 minutes. He literally worked like right across from me. And he was like, no, figure it out.
What?
And I called my friends. My family at the time was living overseas. So I had like nobody. I was all alone. And I remember I was wearing like hot clothes because I had a certain uniform for work. I remember walking and puking and crying a mile and a half home, 8 months pregnant, in 110 degree weather. I felt like I was a piece of shit. Like I was nothing in this world. Like that was just a spiraling moment for me. My friend was there when I got there. She had just gotten my number. She lived in the same apartment. She had just gotten my call. She's like, I'm so sorry. Like I was at work and I just lost it. And she was like, go inside. And I just like, sat in a cold shower. It took me like forever to cool off. And I just like, I wept and I wept and I wept. And when my husband got home, I tried to tell him like how it made me feel. And he just yelled at me and he's like, well, it's your own fault for walking home. Nothing was ever his fault. Like it just didn't matter. And just like I had my daughter, like I loved my daughter. I worked crazy amounts of hours. It was never like enough for him. He was like, work more, work more, work more. And so by now I'm just kind of like majorly, majorly in survival mode. I have no friends except the people I work with. I have no life. I literally worked, cooked, cleaned, and like took care of my kids. That was it. I had zero life. And my husband was like, lived in a bubble. He never wanted to have sex with me ever. He would like laugh at me if I wanted to try to have sex with him.
I'm going to ask this question. And I don't mean to seem like an asshole when I ask it, but did he ever have even small redeeming moments where you were like, okay, like this is why I'm with this guy?
Okay. And that's what is hard because people ask me that. And I know people who like are in abusive relationships, they're like, oh, I stayed because then the next day he was so sweet and he bought me flat. You know how people say that?
Yeah.
No, nope, nothing, none of that. It was like, maybe like we laughed over something, but no, we never went on trips. He would say we were going to do something and we never did it. He would say he was going to buy me something. He never did it. Like, no, but he was as happy as can fucking be. This guy was like, people are like, oh, well, maybe he was depressed. No, this guy was living the dream. Like he worked his bare minimum. He had, you know, meal every day and he barely talked to me. Like I said, he would come home and be on the phone with his mom. I would come home from work and he would be on the phone with his mom. It was weird. But through it all, I was just like, I just had this thing about him. Like when he would come home from work, I used to daydream. I would be like, okay, he's going to come home today. I'm going to look good. And I'm just going to like stop him and be like, you better fucking kiss me on the face. Like I just would create these scenes in my brain of like, okay, today he's going to be like into me. And then he would come home and, like I said, laugh at me like, what's your problem? Like, you got to go to work. I was humiliated. Like, I felt like an idiot. And I never had a debit card. I wasn't really allowed to drive the car that much by myself. I made this money, but, like, I had no clue. If I, like, went to the grocery store, he would say, you have $60 to spend. And that was the only time I would get the debit card. I would sometimes have to drive to his job right after to bring him the debit card. And he would say, like, what the hell? You spent $20 more. And I would get sick to my stomach over spending like a dollar more at the store. Oh, shit. I didn't calculate right. Who wants to go through that going grocery shopping? This is all happening. My parents finally come back from being out of the country. And like everyone like saw, but no one was even trying to pry. No one was saying anything. I was never saying anything. People thought I was the cunt in the relationship. Because you get to a point where now you're just like lashing back because you're just fighting to like be a person.
And people like him will also do this thing where when they're in front of other people, they can turn
off. Oh, you're so right.
A different persona.
Oh my God. Like, and that was who it was.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah. Then, and then he bought everybody else gifts. He wore Kobe's and he's got some wife that looks like shit. And they're like, why are you taking care of yourself? Why? And so it's like, that's exactly what they do. That's exactly what they do.
Did you not want to leave him because of your religious upbringing?
That was a huge part of it. But I also, it's like I thought about it, but I didn't really think about it as an option. So the minute it entered my brain, I put it away.
Yeah.
I didn't like plan out this scheme. And a lot of people won't leave because they're not financially. I'm like, I had a job. It's like I had all the pressure of the finances. And like, if something went wrong with the bills, it was my fault. I had to fix it. But I also had no control over the bills. It was just my fault when shit happened. So we kind of got to this point where I have two kids and I'm never home. I'm working sometimes 4 a.m. to 10 p.m. I knew my kids were being neglected because he had a severe addiction to electronics. I mean, phone, laptop, tablet, all in front of him at all times. And I'm not exaggerating. At the dinner table, if you talk to him, people would say to this day, you never talked to him. You were talking to him with his phone in front of his goddamn face. Like he, and it was like three football games at once. It was, I'm playing this game, watching football, and then watching highlights of this. It was just how he was. So we never even have good conversations because of it. Like I couldn't even talk to him. I would tell him, I'm like, maybe like we should get God involved in our life. And he was like, God doesn't work that way. He doesn't care about stuff like that. So he really like fucked me up in that sense of like, God doesn't care about you like that. That's just not how he is. So I kind of just was like, oh, okay.
People have to understand that these situations happen because of the way that these people can manipulate, the way that these people can cut you off. He cut you off from your family because they were overseas. You didn't have any friends because you were working so much. Like you
had— Yeah, and my family like begged. They were like, we're buying you a ticket. You're coming to see us. We'll buy it for the— And he was like, no, you're not going anywhere.
And you also have kids with him. So it's like if you're like, okay, I'm going to leave. He's like, well, you're not taking my kids with you.
Yeah, and like, so that's what it got to. So
tons of ways that someone like him can manipulate a person into.
Yeah, and it's not like I never threw the I'm going to leave you in my face. I was never one of those people. And every time I would try to approach him like, hey, this is how you're making me feel. Like, I'm struggling with this. Like, the sex thing I would bring up to him. And everything was my fault. It was, oh, well, you like never want to have sex, or you just don't make me feel this way. And then I would always leave the conversation apologizing to him. He would get emotional, and then I would literally spend my life like, okay, I need to get better. I literally thought, I was like, it's me. I got to get better. I've got to like cook a better dinner. I got to clean the house better, work more hours. What can I do to like fucking please this man? So he, because I wanted to be wanted by him. He's like the first person I've ever been with, which I think played a huge part in that.
Growing up, do you feel like you felt a lot of times like you were inadequate, or do you felt like you were a really big perfectionist or something along those lines?
No, I actually, and this is what is the most heartbreaking about this story, is I was like free, sunshine, loving, could talk to anybody, played music, had tons of friends. People loved me. Like, that was who I was. I was that person. Like, my mom would always say, you walk into a room and like light it up. That's just who I was. And it just was like literally burned the fuck out by this marriage. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I hadn't been rejected my whole life. I hadn't been abused. Like, so it's just so sad to me because, and I've totally come out of that, and it took me a very long time, but I literally became, you wouldn't have recognized me physically or like just talking to me. I just became a completely like different person.
I think that's an important thing to say, because I think a lot of times when we hear about situations like this, we assume, because we're assholes, that,
right,
you know, it's somebody who's kind of a doormat, who's easy to walk all over. And that wasn't the case with you.
No, not at all. Like, I was not that. I just wasn't. Fast forward, now I have two kids. I'm working like crazy. And it's just like, all my husband would say was like, there's not enough money. But like, when we would do taxes, I'm like, bro, this is how much we made last year. And you wouldn't even let me buy a fucking bra. And it's never enough. And you're saying like, we can't pay the bills. Like, it was just so bizarre to me. Like, what the fuck is going on? And I would be like, can I please just see our bank account so I can like make a budget and figure out what? And he would just be like, no, I haven't figured out. There's just like not enough money. So I was like, well, I can't do a different job, because basically we worked opposite schedules, which doesn't help any marriage. He worked during the day. I worked during the night. Weekends, I worked the entire day, literally the entire day. we got to a place where, like, I still, like, wasn't comfortable with his family. They really, like, hated me. His dad, like, used to tell him that I was a curse to him because another sister wanted to live with us, and I said, fuck no. And I basically told my husband I would leave. It was me or his sister. And his dad was like, your wife is a curse to you because, like, whatever. But then I was like, maybe I'm just, like, intimidated by them. And so I was like, we need to figure this out. I was like, we got to figure this out. So he kept mentioning, like, something about us moving to where his parents were. They lived in a different state at this time. And he was like, they would help us with the kids. You could get a different job working during the day. Then we could be home at night. We could get some money saved. And then all of a sudden, like, this idea escalated. And the family was all of a sudden, like, they loved me. And they were like, we have this huge house. We'll get the rooms ready. We'll watch the kids. You guys can go on date nights. Like, all of a sudden, it was like this thing. And I'm like, whoa, my family was never going to do that for me. Like, this sounds really great. Like, let's move. I'm all about change. Like, maybe this will be good for us. We can, like, buy a house. Okay. Well, I was a fucking idiot. So I applied for this job. It was making like twice the amount of what I was making in where I was. And I was like, okay, well, what about you? I'm not going to be the only one working. And he was like, oh, I can easily get a job transfer. So I was like, wow, this is like meant to be. Like, things are falling in place. You know how you tell yourself that. I get this job offer. I actually flew out there, I think, for the interview. Yeah. And I got the job. Like, they loved me. And I had to start sooner, though, than he said he could transfer. So I, like, packed up the house. And he was like, okay, like, take the girls with you. Start your orientation. And my family is going to take care of the kids. I was a little bit nervous because I was like, okay, like, I've always been, like, not great with his family, but maybe this will be good. Like, I'm a pretty nice person. Like, I give people the benefit of the doubt, like, whatever. So I get to where his family lived. We flew there with my kids. And oh my God, it was like walking into a different world. I can't even explain it. First of all, they lied. They didn't even have a room for us to sleep in. I was sleeping on the fucking couch with my kids. And the sisters, like, all lived with the parents, the two sisters. The mom who had, I didn't mention this earlier, who had had some form of a psychotic break prior to us moving there. She was, like, beating the husband, like, driving into houses, like, weird shit.
Oh, God.
Like, she was like a shell of a person. Like, she didn't drive. Like, her husband drove her everywhere. They didn't even, like, own plates. They, like, lived off of, like, paper plates and paper cups. The sister, like, never showered. Like, she had to be told to shower. The one sister worked and paid, like, most of the bills. It was so weird. The dad was so controlling. Like, he would yell at me if I wouldn't take $20 from him. Like, scream at me. I'm the man of this house. You better take the. I mean, it was insane. And I was just like, I'm not taking your money. So I, like, called my, and my kids were just going through it. I mean, my heart was, like, breaking for my kids. Like, they didn't have their own room. I would call my husband. I was like, this is not what they said. Like, we don't have a bedroom. I was crying. I was like, this was the worst decision. Like, your family is crazy. Like, your dad is crazy. Your mom is crazy. And he was like, oh, fuck no. He was like, you wanted to move there. I don't want to hear it. He was so fucking mean. He was just like, you don't have a choice. This is what we're doing. So that culture is very much like people live together. They support each other. Like, that's what they do.
Right.
They really do that. And I started to realize that was the fucking plan all along. Now I'm like, well, you're not getting here for like 2 months or a month or whatever. And I was like, I cannot do this for a month. He was just like, no, 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 I can't transfer yet, whatever. And I was like, okay, well, your dad talked about clearing out the office. So can you, like, my husband had, like, cashed out his 401k. And so I, like, knew he had this chunk of money. And so I was like, okay, like, can you give me some money for, like, beds? It was like fighting him tooth and nail. And he was like, well, don't spend too much and this and that. And so I, like, ordered beds. And I was just like, when are you going to get here? he like finally shows up with our truck of stuff and he like loads it in his parents' garage. This guy's got like 4 new Kobe's, brand new like $300 headphones, whole fucking new wardrobe. And I had to fight him over beds for my kids.
Was he a good dad to your kids? Like, did he seem connected to them?
He would say, and I would have believed him, he would be like, I love my kids and I would do anything for them. But no, he was very neglectful. There were times when he wouldn't feed them when I was at work. I came home from work later on. This is right before things happen. And I like opened the garage. It was like snowing out. And my daughter was naked in the garage. And I walk in and everyone's asleep. I couldn't even get my husband to wake up and be like, what the fuck? Our daughter is outside in the cold. And he like, no, he was so in his own world that even though he did love his kids, he was not capable of having, and my, I mean, my kids loved him. Like when he was around them, he would be like, love them and hug them. But like, he never played with them. He was not that type of a dad at all. But he would say things like, I would do anything for my kids. And, you know, my oldest daughter had a pretty good connection with him, but I was gone so much. She was who he was with a lot, but he was a little bit aggressive with her. I believe in like discipline, but he just, it was too much for me sometimes, you know. But his dad and mom used to beat him and his sisters, which I found out later. So I think that's just kind of how he was raised.
Yeah. And he'll okay. do anything for his kids, but he won't buy them a bed.
Yeah. It has taken me so much time to get out of this fog of him and know that I'm a sane person, because just talking to him was like the most tormenting, confusing thing. Like, you just walked away like, what the actual fuck just happened in that conversation?
Yeah.
Like, so his dad was the same way though. Like, his dad was like, if you want money, you need to send your husband an itemized email list of what you want and why you need it. Like, that's who they were. His sisters are 30 and still live with their parents. It's like a jail. It's, and that's what my life became. I was like in a prison. I couldn't drive where I wanted to go. Like, only place I could go was work. I was in, I mean, it's such a dark place. I was severely bulimic. I thought about driving off the road every time I was in the car. I used to be like, okay, maybe if I like make a will and say that my husband isn't capable of taking the kids, I would say that they need to go with my parents and then I could kill myself. Like, that's where my mind was at. I mean, I would walk miles a day with my kids. That was our escape. We would go and we would literally walk to the store. We would walk. I mean, we just walked and walked and walked because I was just like, I don't know how else to get away. So at the time, I had this incredible job that I loved, and I worked with some amazing, amazing people. And for the first time in probably my entire marriage, like, my sisters would hear me complain, but they didn't really know really what was going on. And because of their church belief, it was like, how dare you? Like, you're not being submissive. You're not being spiritual enough. You're not giving it to God. You know what I'm saying? So they couldn't even begin to help me because it was just like, well, you're just not godly enough. Are you even praying? I'm just like, so I started talking to the people like at my job about my husband, about the family. And they were like, they were worried about me. That was another thing. Like, I would work overnight shift and go back. And he was like, oh, I'll watch the kids. I'll watch the kids so you can sleep. No, I was making breakfast. I was taking them to the park. So not only am I working overnights, I'm not sleeping during the day. So I would go 3 days without sleep. My husband refused to get a job. He lied, I forgot to tell you this, about the job transfer. That was never a thing. He was never having a job transfer, which is why he was able to do the 401k thing. And the entire time he was, you know, there working and finishing out his thing, and I was there crying, like, please get here, your family. The motherfucker wasn't even working. He was at our apartment for a month having friends over. I found out later from one of his guy friends that that's what he was doing. I'm like getting to this point where I'm like, okay, I've got to get out. And I finally like felt okay with thinking about it. You know, before I was like, don't think about it. That's a sin. Don't think about it. That's a sin. You're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. But I finally was like, you know what? I'm going to start thinking about this. I knew I had to make more money. I started to have my own money because I like was working and he wasn't. And I kind of got a little bit bold about it. And he was kept telling me he needed money for the credit card. And I was like, well, what is it for? And he wouldn't tell me. And he was just like, you don't fucking need to know what's on the credit card, whatever. So I got a second job. So now I'm working 4 a.m. shifts at one job 3 days a week and graveyard shifts at another job 3 days a week. I am like depressed. I'm tired. I have 2 kids that I'm desperately worried about. You could just tell it was affecting them, which was really why I wanted to get out. I was just like, this is not okay for my kids. This family dynamic, this is terrible. And I think I saw what the family's plan was and who they were and their culture. They would live secret lives. They had no friends. The dad like had a church and basically was like, if you tell anybody in our church where we live, we're going to move. They lived like a secret life. Like they lived in a bubble, just like my husband. I just thought to myself, I was raised normal. Like my kids are not going to be raised like this. I am not going to have like his sisters. My sister is supporting their dad and living in a home until they're 40. And like, I just refused. I started to look at apartments. The girls in my job were like, you could stay with us until you figure it out. So it was like this plan was in motion. And my sister was getting married from the state I was from. And I bought my tickets and I told my husband like, hey, we're going to go to my sister's wedding. And he was like, well, I'm not coming. I was like, well, that's weird. He's like, well, I know you're going to try to move back there. Like, so no, I'm not coming. And don't even think for one second that we're moving back there. And I was just like, okay, that's fine. And I didn't think that. I already had a plan. And I had started to be more bold with him. Like, hey, I'm going to move out. And when you decide to get a job and be nice to us, you can move in with us. I wasn't even like leaving him. I was just saying like, hey, until you're a nice person and can support our family, we're just going to kind of do this on our own. I wasn't like, I'm going to leave you. Like, I wasn't that type of a person. And he'd be like, oh, what the fuck are you going to do? Like, find someone else? I'm just like, that's not even what I said. He was like, no, I'm not going to this wedding. I go back home. I stay with my parents. And they all had like an idea that things weren't going well. And I broke down. My aunt was there. Like, grandma was there. I remember I was baking muffins. And I just started sobbing in my mom's kitchen. And I felt so shame because I felt stupid telling them like almost like it was a lie because I almost didn't believe it myself because I just been so under this cloud of my husband telling me it was me and I'm crazy and I'm never satisfied and I'm never going to be happy. And I'm just, you know what I'm saying? I just was like, this is what's happening. And I started telling them stories and my mom was like, you're not going back to that. You're not going back to that family. I was like, well, I can't divorce him. Like, that's horrible. Like the kids, like I never would do that. And people will talk. And she was like, no one's saying you have to do that. She's like, but it's okay to like get a break and get yourself mentally healthy and figure out like what's the right thing to do. So my sister had her wedding. And the next day I took all the money out of our account because like at this point I was the only one working and I know my husband's like obsessed with money. So I just took whatever money I had left out of our bank account. And the minute I took it out, I called him and I was like, I'm not coming back. And he was like, don't you fucking take the money. That's what he said. He didn't say, oh my God, I can't believe this. It was, don't you fucking take the money and you're not taking my kids. Those were his two responses. And I was just like, I can't talk right now. I'm getting off the phone. The dad ends up calling my dad 2 minutes later and screaming at him, your daughter's gonna burn in hell. Like, how dare you let her do this? This is a sin. I mean, it was insane. And my dad was just like, I'm not talking to you about this. So like at this time, I'm like involved in my church and I have to bring up the church because it's kind of a part of the story. And I'm like trying to get help because somehow I was living in a fantasy world. Clearly I was like, we're going to work this out. He's going to just cry and be a changed man. And he's going to finally love me. That's what my brain was telling me. And I was like, I'm going to get better. We're going to just, this is how it's going to happen. I was starting to talk to the pastor, and I was like telling him stuff, and he was just like pretty casual about it. Like, kind of didn't really believe me. They never do. They're just like, oh, okay, whatever. Now a week has gone by. I haven't heard from my husband. Like, okay, what's going on? And I walk into church, and there's my husband.
Oh, God.
And I was like, I couldn't even breathe. And I was like, I walked into the pastor, and I said, why is he here? The night I had called him, he had flown out. Did I know? Did he come try to see his kids? Did he tell me? No, he fucking like settled in, moved in with a friend, did all this shit, and just casually showed up to church. And this is where my life, where you think my life is upside down, this is where I feel like I'm lying when I tell my story, okay? I was like, okay, if you're gonna be here, like, let's not get people involved. This is weird. Like, let's just keep it. No, this guy, like, just attached to like all these different families. He ended up having some type of a fling with this girl during this time. And I'm like, you're cheating on me. Like, I'm sorry. We're still together. Like, what the hell is going on? And he's going up to all these people crying. Like, she filed for divorce. I never even signed a freaking paper. And then I ended up doing that. I didn't file for divorce at all. I just did a separation because of the kids, but I didn't file for divorce. I just did a thing to protect the kids. That's like where he can't take him out of the state. I'm like talking to the pastor. I'm like, okay, so like, can we do counseling? Like, what's going on? He was telling them one thing. I was telling them another thing. So things were escalating. Like, I had gotten a job. I was living with my parents. This was in March. Okay, I have to give you time frames now. This is in March. I'm like really trying to get in a better place. I am like going to church. I'm around people. I'm like reading my Bible. Like, I'm trying to be a good person in a shitty situation. I wasn't off talking to people, like men. I was just like, I left you to get help. I didn't leave you to be an idiot. So I was doing what I said. I was getting help. I was going to counseling. And I just kept telling him like, hey, like, this isn't going to work unless you're going to try to do something. Well, nothing was happening really. Like, he just kept spreading lies. Pretty soon the whole church was involved in our problem and because of him. And I just kind of kept quiet. People hated me. Like, they really did. They were just like, ooh, you left him, like, whatever. And I needed a ride somewhere. And I always would do this. Do you ever, like, you try to create situations, like, in a movie so, like, something will happen, something good? Or, like, I would try to create situations, like, okay, I'm going to ask him for a favor, and then he'll, like, pick me up, and we'll be in the car, and then he'll, like, remember, like, who I am, and he'll, like, be sorry. And, you know, it's just sad when you think about it. But I did that. I was strong, though. I wasn't wishy-washy. I didn't go back and forth with him. I knew I wouldn't even consider it until he had made some effort. So, like, I made this situation, and it was, like, late. It was, like, midnight. And I was like, hey, like, my dad needed me to pick up his car or something. And I was like, hey, my dad's at work late, and he needs me to pick up his car because they're, like, going to close the gates. And can you come get me and take me there? And he was like, sure. So I was like, okay, this is it. And like, I get in the car and I just still have these feelings for him. Like, he's the only person I've ever been with. And I just remember just longing for him to like want me. And his phone is just blowing up. He gets out of the car for some reason, like, and I look at his phone and it's this girl that he's like having some type of a relationship with. And I just like start crying in the car. Not like sobbing to where he could hear me, but like tears. And he saw them. He didn't say a word. Like, he said nothing to me. That next day was a church service, and I like went into the office and I was like, okay, something has to happen. My husband is now talking to this woman in your church who's like, here, I'm here. He's acting like he's sad over me leaving him. but he's not. We need to figure this out. And my church is so against adultery. Like, unless you're divorced, and even then they think it's adultery. Like, you just don't do that. So I go to the office and they're like, okay, you know what? We've had too much. He said, she said. The pastor was like, I'm tired of this. You're both going to come in here. And we hadn't really had a meeting together at all. They just did things so weird. So my husband comes in and the pastor was like, have you been talking to so-and-so? And he turned into like a crazy person. And he was like, what the fuck? No. And he was like stormed out and came back in with his phone and like chucked his phone across the office and was like, go through my phone. I don't care. Like, she's a liar, like spitting, screaming. He starts making up these stories about me that were like almost so, like, his lying, because he was a liar, but it was scary. I was just like, because it was like he believed them. He really believed what he was saying, and no one else did. Like, I'm in the corner sobbing, crying, because he's like pointing at me. He's screaming at me. I don't know why these people allowed him to do that, but they did. And he is like, she's this, she's that. She went out and got a job and didn't tell me. And I was like, you literally drove me to my interview. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Long story short, the guy who had his phone was like, okay, this girl's been texting you the entire time we're in here. So you're obviously talking to her. So he literally was like, I'm not talking to her. Here's my phone, as they're talking. Like, that's weird, right?
I think that shows just how crazy he actually was. Like, he was buying into his own lies.
Yes. Yes, he was. And I was, like I said, in the corner in a ball, just in fear and crying. And I was like, I'm leaving. This is ridiculous. This has been going on for an hour. And you know what they said to me? The pastor said to me, he said, well, maybe sit together tonight and just like pray. He told me to sit next to this man that literally was just like doing this. And I was raised to do what I was told. And I went home and I uncontrollably like cried and cried. And I felt like they were telling me, and they kept saying, just go back to him. I felt like I was now having to make a decision to go back to this man that was doing this, because they were so like, divorce is wrong. And so I went home, and now I'm at a crossroads, and I'm like, I've been so strong. I haven't been doing anything wrong. I've been trying to make this work. I'm trying to become a better person, a better Christian. And now I'm being told to go back to him. And I was afraid. I was literally afraid, because I knew it would be worse. I just remember it being such a horrifying situation. My mom was like, you don't have to listen to them. And I was just like, but I do, because this is what they're telling me. And like, exactly 10 days later, my husband's just like texting my phone, you're a hypocrite. And I have to tell you, I turned into like this nice person where I would send him a message and say, hey, I don't know what you're going through. I know this is a shitty situation, but like, maybe you could just like pray to God. Or like, I honestly like started to have compassion for him, because I felt like he was such a tormented person, because he was just acting crazy. So I started like to have like this compassion towards him. So we had that huge blow up. I cried. 10 days later, I'm about to go for a run with a friend. I'm trying to put my kids to bed. I'm still living with my parents. All of my family's at the house, my brother-in-law's, my sisters. And my brother-in-law's like, do you know your husband's blood type? And I was like, no. Why? And he goes, oh, he's just playing basketball with the guys from church. And they just said he like passed out. I was like, oh, I don't fucking care. Like, all of their friends pass out. They're all unhealthy. They're all dehydrated. They all break ankles when they play. Like, I was not surprised. So daughter is like screaming. I just remember like, she would not go to bed. My dad's just like trying to get her to go to bed. She's just like flipping out. I'm trying to go for a run. Like, what the heck? And then my mom comes like storming out of the room, and she was like, we got to go to the hospital. And I was like, why? She goes, because your husband collapsed at playing basketball. And I was like, yeah, I know. Like, he probably just, you know, didn't have enough water. And my mom was like, no, I think it's worse than that. We get in the car and we're driving there. And I like just had this horrible feeling. I was just like, oh my God, he's dead. Like, that's what I told myself. I'm like, he's dead. My husband's dead. So like driving, and my sister, who's like the most, she's just not a very forgiving person. She was like, I don't care what happens. You know, basically like I'm not allowed to be sad because of what he's done. And I was sad. Like, I don't care what anybody says. I was sad. That was my husband for 5 years. Like, he's the only person I've ever known. He's the person I have two kids with. Yeah, he was not very nice, but like, whatever. He's a human being. Like, duh. So we're driving to the hospital and we get there and I'm just literally like shitting my pants, literally freaking out. I'm like shaking and we're just getting little bits of stories. People like texting like, okay, the EMTs were trying to like revive him on the site at the basketball court and they couldn't. He like peed himself. Just all these little stories. Now, mind you, I told you like the church had been kind of involved and they didn't like me. So we show up there and there's a chaplain and he goes, are you the wife of so-and-so? And I was like, yes. And he was like, well, there's a huge group of people here and they don't really want you here.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, I'm not. Right now in my life, I don't really have any religious beliefs. I just don't. But to this day, I think that that chaplain at that hospital was like there for a reason. Like, he really protected me. He was like probably nicer to me than anybody had been that whole entire last 5 months. So he like was hugging me and he was like, okay, so right now they're like in triage. Okay. We're outside of triage with the curtain. This doctor comes out. He looks like a fucking ghost. And he basically had spent the last 45 minutes pounding on my husband to get him to like wake up. And he comes out and he was like, hey, we've done our best, but like we finally got his heart to come back, but like with drugs and all this shit. And he was like, we're going to put him on I don't know the term where they basically chill your body to protect brain cells. You know, there's a term for it.
I've seen it on Grey's Anatomy, but I don't know what.
Me too. Grey's Anatomy makes me cry every time. So he was like, we're going to do that. Then we'll just hope that he wakes up once we kind of let him like basically an induced a coma. They want him to like, and then they'll just whatever. And so they like wheel my husband out and I saw him. And as like a wife, I feel like do you feel like this? Like you can sense things because you've had it probably more intimacy with like than anybody ever has with this person. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you've been with that person. And I, when they took him by, like, I just like started crying because I was like, that does not look like my husband. That does not look like him. It was such a scary thing. So now we've got this group of people, right? And the chaplain was like, okay, we've got an issue with the church people. They're not happy. They want to come up here. They don't want you here. I was like, tell them to leave. Like, get security and tell them to leave. He's like, we're working on it. He's like, but not to like freak you out. He goes, but we're going to take you the long way because we don't want you to have to walk through that group of people. And I was like, oh my God, like what is happening right now? So he like takes us a long way. I had to like fight the pastor of our church to get my husband's bag of clothes and his phone. I'm sorry, but this is still my husband. And he was like, I don't know if I should give it to you. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Finally, like I get my husband's stuff and I go in the room and like they do their little prayer thing for him and they all like start to leave And the chaplain was like, okay, people from your church want to come up here. And I'm like, fuck no, this is the ICU. We don't even know what's happening. Like, no. Okay. The nurse walks in. I am now like there by myself. There's no one there. The nurse walks in and she goes, is this really your husband? I said, excuse me. She goes, we're getting a lot of phone calls from people, even his family, saying that you're not his wife. And we're going to need to see proof that you're married to him. And I was like, absolutely not. I was like, this is my husband. We have two kids together. I was like, and you're going to put my husband on the like he does not exist list and no one's allowed to come up here. She was like, it's really disturbing, all the people. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm sure it is. So can you just like tell them he's not here? I call the dad and he's crying and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know what's going on. He's like, is he dead? And I was like, no, but it's just not looking good. He's like, I'm going to fly out. So I assumed he meant like the whole family because I'm like, he's pretty much dying. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not looking good according to what the doctor said. So the dad shows up the day they had taken him off this chilling thing. And they say pretty quickly they should start to like show some signs, whatever. Like if they open their eyes and they like get their eyes to move. So none of that was happening. And so now I'm like preparing myself. Okay, so the dad shows up without the wife, and I'm like, okay, where's his mom? They didn't even tell his mom the situation. They like lied to her and were just like, oh, he passed out and he's basically at the hospital. They didn't tell her that he had basically been dead for 45 minutes. So she's over like in her state thinking like nothing's wrong. And I told the dad, I was like, do you not realize how serious this is? And well, we believe in God and my son's going to live and okay, like have your faith. Okay. And at this point, like they still hate me because I like, you know, left their son. And basically things got worse. My husband like was having like no signs of getting better. He was not waking up. His kidneys were failing. The church people were just like overtaking the ICU to the point where like the nurses would like pull me aside and be like, you need to do something about this. And I was just like, I'm trying, but like, I have no control. I wasn't getting any alone time with my husband. I ended up having a brief 10 minutes where like the dad was in the corner of the room and the nurse came in and I like, we had like a private conversation and she like did the whole eye thing. And when she opened his eye, like with her tools or whatever, it was like this feeling that came over me and I looked at him and I was like, my husband's gone. I just could feel it in my inner core and I left and I just cried. I started my grieving process at that time and he'd already been there now for like 3 days. And so now like days are going by and my husband's not getting any better. So I talked to the nurse and I was just like, there's nothing getting better. Like, what's the deal here? Like, what do I expect? Are you guys hopeful that he's going to wake up? And she was like, we have to wait a certain amount of time because of his age. And I didn't even tell you how old he was, 26. Okay. I was like, okay. Now at this time, the mom shows up. They finally tell her, she shows up. The other sister shows up. And I'm trying to just be gracious. I would never want my kid to die. Like, this is shitty for everybody. We're all sad. I'm not going to like pick a fight with these people. Problem is, the mom kept, like, she would yell at my husband, like screaming at him to wake up. The doctor would be in the room and she'd be like, oh, he moved, he moved, everybody, he moved, he moved. And the doctor would be like yell at her. No, he didn't. This kept happening. And then the dad, I would show up in the morning to get like, I would go home and sleep with my kids. And then I would show up in the morning to get like what's going on. And before I could talk to the nurse, the dad was like, oh my gosh, great news. he's getting better. His kidneys are functioning. He would say this to me and I was like, holy shit, like what? And then I would leave the room and when the nurse would be like, what the fuck did he just tell you? And I would tell him and he was like, okay, first of all, your husband's kidneys are no longer working. He has no brain activity. So none of that is true. I was like, oh my God.
Do you think that they were in denial?
Oh, absolutely. They were just, I mean, they were stricken with grief. But the dad like had this thing where he thought he had like healing powers to where like if he prayed, they would get better. And I know people think that they can like pray for someone, they get healed. And but he like thought it was like it had to happen kind of a thing. So I show up that night. It's now like days are going by. I show up. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to church tonight. I didn't know why. I didn't really want to, but I was like, I had a couple friends there that I wanted to like talk to because I didn't know what kind of information they were getting. I kid you not. I'm sitting in church and the pastor over in the pulpit, whatever, was like doing the prayers. My church does prayers over the pulpit. He goes, you know, we've been praying for so-and-so, you know, he's in a serious situation and we've been praying that like God would heal him, whatever. And he goes, and I have great news. And I was like, wait, what? I'm the wife. Like what? What's the great news? Right. And he goes, he opened his eyes this evening. The entire church like starts cheering. And I was mortified because I knew this wasn't true.
I really believe that this story is just so important to hear. Like, I think it's really good for people to hear all of the complex feelings that this woman is having to go through. And her husband isn't even dead yet. Like, obviously, we know that's to come. It's called The Widow. But it is just crazy what some people have to go through in their lives during some of the hardest times of their life. And I just hope that it makes you, and this is for myself too, but to just have more empathy for people and to try your best. And again, directed right at me. I'm not sitting up on some fucking high horse talking down to everybody. Like, I need to hear this too. We need to be better about giving grace to people, you know, when we don't know what's going on in their life. I'm the first person to flip somebody off when I'm driving and they cut me off or whatever it might be. And I just think hearing this woman's story and all the things that she's been through and still all the stuff that is still left to come, it just makes you realize that, like, hey, some people are going through some stuff and they're having a bad day and they're having a bad week. They're having a bad fucking few years. We just need to be better. So that's that. That's what I hope you're getting from this. And just know that the story only gets crazier from here. Thank you guys for listening. I will see all of you next week.
Everybody has a secret.